Swami Dhaname, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Vajarane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paska Dhyade Siddhartha.
Om Agana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Pridana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishuvana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text number 65.
Manmanava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mamaivaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me, thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. This, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, though he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is a dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and attain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute. Bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. This is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Manmanabha madbhakto majajimam namaskuru mamevaishasi yuktaivam atmanam atparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Engage your body in my service. Offer your homage unto me. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. The result is that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. Thank you for coming. My name is Prahladananda Swami, and this is the Bhagavad Gita as it is, with the translation of purports by our spiritual teacher, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita, as most of you know, was spoken by Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago. And here he's telling us, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, that we should think of him. That may seem like a very extreme, egotistical statement on the part of Krishna, because after all, in the material world, we want everyone to think about us. And here Krishna is saying, thinking about me. So it seems he's trying to ask us to do the same thing everyone else is asking. And to think about someone else like Krishna seems rather strange and unusual to practice thinking about someone like God. People even accuse the Hare Krishna movement that they're being brainwashed, they're being forced to concentrate their mind upon Krishna. That's all they think about is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Of course, if someone was practicing to become a professional golf player and all he thought about was golf and golf and golf, and he spent his whole life meditating on golf, and he became a multi-billionaire because of that, no one would criticize him. Just like they had this professional golf player, Tiger Woods. And if someone went up to Tiger Woods and said, "My dear Tiger Woods, you're concentrating too much of your life upon golf. Don't you think of anything else?" No, he's being praised because that's all he thinks about. He's meditating all the time on how he's going to win in golf. Similarly, in the material world, it is not that we ourselves as spiritual souls are any less devoted when we're devoted to this material world than when we're devoted to Krishna. Now, presently, we're 100% devoted to our material bodies. Now, according to Bhagavad Gita, we're not the body. That may come as a surprise to some, as a noted point of philosophy by others. But this is the very point of Bhagavad Gita at the very beginning, that we are not the body. This is not a Hare Krishna philosophy. When Krishna spoke with the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, he was not speaking as a Hindu god to a Hindu named Arjuna. There was no such thing as Hinduism, nor is Krishna a Hindu god, nor was the philosophy he was talking, was speaking, was Hinduism. He was speaking reality. The reality is, as Krishna says, Deinosmin nita dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara prapir diryas tatra namuyati. The reality is, everyone has a body that's changing. If anyone here can prove that their body's not changing, we'll give them $1 million. This is a challenge. Otherwise, everyone can give me $5 on the way out. If you have a changing body. Everyone's body is changing. But the person who happens to be ourselves, the best witness to the fact that we're not changing is ourselves. We had a 5-year-old body at one time. All of us probably had the good fortune of going through kindergarten and the first grade. Now we say we've changed along with our body, then who went through kindergarten in the first grade? If we weren't there to witness it, then who was there? No, we were there, but we had a different body than we had now. If you think you had the same body that you had when you were 5 years old, well, it'll be very hard to understand the rest of our philosophy. So the body's always changing, but we ourselves within the body, we're always the same. We're always the same spiritual soul, but now we become 100% fixed in devotion, unalloyed devotion to our body. We're pure devotees of our material body. We wake up in the morning and we immediately look in the mirror, as I've said before, and we become inquisitive, trying to find out what the absolute truth is. We ask the mirror on the wall, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all?" And surprisingly enough, the mirror always gives us the same answer. It says, if you can see through your effulgence, you'll be able to see. Just try to remove your effulgence and everything will become clear. Then with such absolute knowledge, which is always the same, always unfixed, undeviated, we become determined to render service to the most worshipful deity we see in the mirror. And if we're a little pious, then we immediately perform abhishek, bathe the deity. We dress the deity. We decorate the deity. We offer food to the deity. And then we go out to spread the glories of the deity all over the world. This is called Sankirtan. Try to get everyone engaged in Sankirtan. Go door to door. Worship the Supreme Lord. So everyone is in love with their body. So to become in love with the spiritual body, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should not be so difficult or so unusual. Because now we're worshiping a body, but what will happen after all our worship, after all our years of struggle, after all our good intentions and sincerity to serve this worshipful body, what does our body do to us? That's probably happens to most of us, doesn't it? Yes, it kicks us out of the body. Get out, you rascal. You didn't render very nice service to me. Find another body. You're out of here. Kick. No, don't leave me. I love you. Sorry, kid. You're out of here. Better luck next time. No, no matter what body we get, we struggle very hard to maintain it, to love it, to worship it, to serve it, try to get others to worship and serve it also, and then finally it dies on us, and we have to try and start all over again. Just imagine if you were a very intelligent scientist. You went to school after high school for another 15 years to get your 5 PhD degrees. You're honored by all over the world as a great scholar. Your name was mentioned many times for the Nobel Prize. You're a household word in all scientific circles. You're going to put out your next fabulous book on scientific research, and then you die. While you're lecturing to 10,000 people at Yankee Stadium. And you come back again, maybe as a human being, if you were a little pious. And your next word is, "Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo." And if you're not so pious, your next word is, "Prr, prr, prr." So one moment you're this fantastic scientist, everyone wants your autograph, they want to touch your lotus-like foot, and now you have another type of foot. So So this is the material world. It is not that it's not going to happen to people. It is not that all these trees outside, some of them were on the pages of Playboy magazine in their last lifetime. They thought they were going to be worshipped forever, and now they're standing outside as trees. And others were trying to become high jumpers, and they took the body of a flea. Others were trying to swim laps in the pool to become Olympic champions, and now they're they're doing laps in the Atlantic Ocean. So it is not that it doesn't happen, because we can look around and see all the different species of life, and they're also spiritual souls just like we are. They're also convinced in their last life that they were on the way up to heaven, and unfortunately they made a few detours on the way. The conclusion is that Krishna is mentioning here that we should not simply meditate upon this material experience that we're going through. It is not the ultimate meditation, this body. This body can be utilized in such a way is that we can learn to think about Krishna. The difference is when we think about this material body, we suffer. We suffer not only because of the weather, the smog, we suffer because of all the noise, the people are not always so kind to us, they don't always appreciate this body, although we love it very dearly and we know why it is so great. Other people, they're not allowed into the mysteries of our understanding. And there are so many diseases the body goes through. There are problems. Although we are trying to be very expert at solving them, although we have become very scientific in our solutions, still the problems don't go away. Even if we become a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire, it doesn't mean when it's cold outside that, well, the weather says, well, he's a trillionaire. We'll warm it up a little bit for him. We don't want him to suffer because he has so much money. No, even I'm a multi-trillionaire, even I'm the President of the United States, still I'm going to have to suffer like everyone else. The threefold miseries. And even a billionaire, he grows old and dies. Therefore, rather than spending all our time trying to solve material problems, although it is not that we can neglect some of the material necessities of life, but rather than simply work only to increase our necessities, we should try to work in such a way as to focus our consciousness upon something which is actually enjoyable. That supreme enjoyable object of attention is Krishna. His name, his form, his quality, his pastimes. If one can actually come to the platform of thinking about him, then one will feel great transcendental happiness. Of course, many times they are selling things like cookies and they give you a little taster. So our little taster is this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because if one can chant Hare Krishna 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half an hour a day, one will get some different state of consciousness, of awareness. We may not be, our hairs or our seekers may not stand on end. We may not shiver in ecstasy. But we'll see that this chanting is different from an ordinary sound vibration. If we try to chant something like water, 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 obviously after some time we get tired of tasting water, nor would we get any taste of water. And if you had a favorite politician, like if we chanted Bush, 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 Bush. Yes, we can, or Mickey Mouse, and someone else yells out Donald Duck. We can try that for a while. But still after some time we'll become tired. I'm sure some of you may have been members of the Mickey Mouse Club. But how many of you still keep your big ears Maybe some of you do. You know, every once in a while when no one's looking, you put on the big ears in the mirror and say, wow, the good old days. No, the fact is that we're not so much enthusiastic as we were previously about certain objects of our attention and love. Although this body is a source of steady worship. But still, if we chant Hare Krishna, we can see that there's a difference. By chanting Hare Krishna, one will not only have an increasing taste, but that taste will increase perpetually. As long as we chant with some attention, then one will see that it's ever fresh, unlike any other sound vibration. And one can try it out for themselves. If one can understand that we are spiritual souls, then why not do something for the soul? We're not that we should not do something for the body or the mind or our conception of life, but why should we neglect the soul within the body? Just like if you go to the gas station, obviously you have to put oil and gasoline in the car. No one will say, what are you wasting your time putting so much gasoline and oil into the car? Why don't you just feed it to your soul? Or feed it to the person in the car? No, this, what do they do, unto, give to Caesar what's due to Caesar? So for the car you got to put in gasoline and oil. Similarly for the body, we need food, nice prasad. For the mind, we have to have nice relationships. We have to have a proper conception of life. So we have to take care of the car that we're riding in this body. Although we may not be the body, we should take care of it. But we shouldn't forget about feeding something to the soul. Not that I went to the gasoline station, spent all my money on gasoline and oil. There's nothing left for me to eat. So what's the difference? My car is satisfied. I feel satisfied. If I get any more money, I'll just put in more gasoline. Then the car will be twice as satisfied. No, we still have to feed the passenger in the body, or in the passenger in the car. So the passenger in the body is the soul. So soul food is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is what Lord Chaitanya recommends. We hear books like Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya is a incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has brought us this chanting and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which we're now distributing. So we have books like Bhagavad Gita outside, and we can read these books and get a clear understanding of how to live happily in the material world and at the same time make progress towards feeding the soul and eventually going to a place where every soul is eternally happy. Just as we've been eternal since we've been aware of ourselves since the beginning of this body, so we'll be eternal even after this body. So we should take care of the soul, ourselves. And also just one more thing is that although I ran out of magazines in English, we have some of our health and welfare. One of my services in ISKCON is that I'm the Minister for Health and Welfare. So every year we put out a journal in different languages on health and welfare with articles on yoga and herbs and Ayurveda and different. Unfortunately, I ran out of them in English and all I have left is Spanish. So if anyone speaks Spanish here and would like to buy one of them, we ask for a donation. Usually our donations around $5, but whatever you can give is appreciated. So thank you very much. Are there any questions? Okay, so now is the feast. We thank you very much for your attention. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.